Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in.
Lauren, welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm so excited to have you on today. But before we dive in, I would love to hear a little bit more about yourself, your journey, where you started, and how you got to where you are today.
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me, Nicole. So, wow, my journey is a circuitous one, as I think most people's are, right? When you start to get back to it, like very few people have a linear journey, which is, I think, what makes it so intriguing to hear people's life stories. I began my journey as an actress. So I have my theater degree from NYU, and I was from California. And so after I graduated, I went back to LA, and as most people who are pursuing the arts, required a quote, real job. And so I started tutoring, because actually in LA, because all the musicians and actors and directors and future, you know, whatevers, all are working in restaurants, I needed to go a different route because I didn't have the ability to stand out there. So I started tutoring the ACT and SAT and really remembered something about myself, which is that I really love teaching. And if you go back, like I was always volunteering with kids. I loved tutoring. I really enjoyed educating others. And so I kind of found this lovely little niche. And I realized that the secret sauce that I had was that I connected with each person individually. And I don't think a lot of the tutors did that because I was with a larger company. It was like, this is just how you teach it. This is just how it works. And they'd just hand it to every kid kind of without that personal touch. And my students started to really outpace other people just in terms of their advancement. And not necessarily that they were getting the best scores, but their improvements were great. I really loved finding my way in with each kid. Some kids, it was a mental hang up. Some kids, it was, you know, academic. And so I loved that like puzzle piece, like aspects of tutoring. And so fast forward, I'm working with a student. I branch out on my own because I also have this entrepreneurial bent. And one of my students' dads is standing at the foot of the stairs waiting for me with like kind of a scowl on his face one day. And I was like, his kid's a rock star. I don't understand why he's frustrated. Oh God, what's coming my way? Turns out he's Mitch Jackson, who's a very on social trial lawyer. And he goes, Lauren, why aren't you on Twitter? It just blew my mind because I'm like, I'm this tiny little geographic area. Like, I can't reach more people. I don't understand why he's asking me if I'm on Twitter. He's like, Lauren, you have to get on social. And so I did. And it led me to Michael Hyatt's podcast, Pat Flynn's podcast. And I started to think bigger. I started to think outside that geographic area. So Mitch was absolutely right and probably responsible for everything that's come since. And so it's really amazing once your eyes open to the flexibility and freedom that's available out there with online courses and that sort of, it's just unreal the reach we have these days. Something I love that you're taking advantage of by being, you know, location independent, and it's beautiful. So I shifted everything to an online model. I sold that company in 2021. And one of the things that was so pivotal with that company's growth was SEO. And I really love search engine optimization. Which is kind of strange. Like a lot of people are like, it's all about social. It's all about the shiny picture. And I'm like, I will feed Uncle Google all day long. You know, like if I have only so much time to spend, the lion's share of it is going to Google first because he will pay me for years to come. It takes a little time to get there. You have to kind of mole method it. That's what I call it, where you like scan the horizon, then pop down, write your stuff, and then pop up and see how things are doing like 3 months down the line. But it is powerful. It does not take that much more time. It actually fills your social content calendar if you do it right. And if all roads lead to your website, you can start to meet strangers on the internet, which is like not in the scary way, but like you can meet, have people who have a need find you right when they have the need. and you can help provide transformation, whether it's through an informational piece or a sales page that ranks. And I think that's just a really powerful thing. And you can do it all pretty much for free. So I don't think it's talked about enough in the online entrepreneurial world. And it's something that absolutely made my company as profitable as it was. And I love banging that drum and sharing that message.
Well, I have a lot of questions, but I want to start with asking, what did you build that the business that it sounded like you exited? What did that look like? And how did SEO contribute to that? Was that just like an SEO agency, or what did that look like? And how did you scale that with SEO so that you could sell that, exit, whatever that looked like?
So the first company was an ACT and SAT prep company. And so I was helping students get ready for the ACT and SAT in-home, one-to-one, you know, high price point. And I started to get so full that I did that thing where I raised my rates for the in-home stuff. And then I was still full, but I was driving myself nuts because I was driving like 11,000 miles every 6 months. Like my car was like, what are we doing? And so I also got married and realized I worked 5 to 9 and all day Sunday. And so I never saw my husband because he worked a regular 9 to 5. So that was really the impetus for making that switch online. And one thing that I knew I wanted it to feel different than a big company. And it's a really crowded space, right? We all know the names, Princeton Review, Revolution Prep, Kaplan, like these are big dogs. They are giants in the space. And I was like, how do I stand out online as a mom and pop and show the difference and be high touch, but also asynchronous? Like, how do I leverage both? How do I create the systems to help students feel cared for, help parents trust that their kids are being cared for? That's a really big trust exchange. And so I very much lucked into finding SEO. My original designer of my site did some just quick and dirty keyword research. She's like, Lauren, nobody is putting up ACT and SAT test dates on the same page. And a lot of kids take both tests and a lot of counselors need that resource. Why don't you do that? And so I built the asynchronous courses. And as I was doing that, I just started answering a ton of the questions with that sort of being the core page. And to this day, it still drives tremendous traffic. You know, I did do some keyword research using like Google's keyword tool early on. So it was not slick by any stretch. But I got to see Marcus Sheridan in 2014 do a keynote at Social Media Marketing World. He's the sales lion, and he talks about answering every question that your client might have and putting it on your website and using that as a way to draw people in. So with that in mind, with knowing about this other page, I then was able to start answering the questions that I knew were being asked and that I had sat across the kitchen table and answered for years. And so just putting that into written form, because Google reads really well, doesn't hear so good. But then I also started a podcast, which got backlinks from my guests who were in the space. I was shown as a trusted authority, even though I was slightly adjacent to test prep specifically. And it also, again, kind of led to that trust, as I'm sure you know. When you are a podcaster, you're in people's earballs, and especially if you're giving them information that helps them have a better life, they lean in. They have a relationship with you that you have no idea about. And it's really beautiful. Like, I think it's really such a powerful medium, but it's one of those things that, like, I think it was everything kind of coalesced, but people wouldn't find me if they couldn't type into Google, you know, what is a good SAT score, and see my result come back. I had a girlfriend text me her classroom of juniors and was like, I just YouTubed PSAT workshop and you are sitting on my screen teaching my kids. And at that point, I'm in Seattle now. She was in Seattle. I was in California. And she's like, this is bananas. Like, people I actually knew, but then how many people that I didn't know who couldn't have texted me were also using it? So, you know, it's about all the things, but with SEO as the spearhead and with your website as your calling card, I think good content always wins. And that is not the case on social. We know that it's not. So good content always wins. And if you feed Google good content, trustworthy content, you're going to be in the money, literally.
I love hearing, you know, anyone who comes on the podcast and just anyone in general's journey and what that has looked like. So I appreciate you sharing that and what that has looked like for you, because in the online space, we all have completely different journeys. So I'd love to dive into a little bit about SEO. I say a little bit because it's the whole universe, but I have had some podcast guests on recently. I did have one very well-regarded podcast expert on that I'm thinking of in particular. And we had a really interesting discussion around SEO and podcasting. And I feel like, especially with AI, which we can dive into a little bit as well, SEO and Google and ranking is becoming such a hot topic of, yes, you need to do it and you need to do it now, or don't do it, don't bother, do podcasting, do, you know, a million of the other things, but it's just not worth it anymore. So I'd love to hear your opinion. And if you, I guess this is specific to Google SEO, blogging, keyword research, if that is still something that is profitable to pursue and what it would look like pursuing it. Because I know pursuing it now versus pursuing that to hopefully make money in the future off of that 5 years ago or 10 years ago, that looks completely different now.
I go with the timeless principles. So I will tell you, I have not really spent much time with AI because to me, good content will always win. AI is not generating good content. AI can do a lot of things. It can be a support in your workflow and help you move a little more quickly, like transcription and things like that. I saw you had the script in here, you know, awesome. That's all great. Google, like I said, doesn't have great ears. So you need SRT files on your YouTube or TTL files. Like you need to have closed captioning. You need to have, you know, transcriptions with your podcast. You need to give a way for Google to understand what it is you're talking about. However, good content will always win, and AI doesn't generate good content right now. AI generates really derivative content. And if you're saying what everybody else is saying, then no, you will not rank. However, the thing that I really love about start and all SEO journeys, yes, you need to speak to bots, right? You need to understand how to talk computer, because there is a hierarchy that has to happen. Your website hierarchy has to make sense. Your URL structure needs to be beautiful. Like Google loves clarity, and that is wonderful and something I think AI can maybe support you with. But people want a heart connection. And so if you can find a way to stand at the intersection of bots and people, bots and humans, and see the pain of a person behind keyword research, right? As solopreneurs, we are problem solvers. What is the problem you solve? What's the query people ask right before they need what you bring to them? Is it a informational or a transactional query? Are they sitting there with their credit card in hand going, I need an organic marketing course? If so, hi, there's my sales page. Are you somebody who's going, what is SEO? That person who says, what is SEO, isn't sitting there with a credit card in their hand. They want information. But can you give them the next right step and bring them into your email list and say, listen, this is what SEO is. Let me give you some explanations. Here's some links to some case studies of clients I've worked with. And by the way, your first right step is to do a DIY SEO audit. And so I will walk you through that for free. If you sign up for your email right here, come on in. I have a free, you know, X step course, and I will walk you through the entire journey. That is a quote purchase that's made with an email address, not with a credit card. But if I go, hey, I just told you what SEO is, want to do my organic marketing course? That's not going to convert, because that's not the path that that person who asked the other query was on, as opposed to the person who asked the more transactional query. So it's about really seeing the human behind them and meeting. Now, the other thing to consider is some of us have different solutions that actually deal with serious pain points, right? So if someone is dealing, like I have a friend who's a restorative yoga expert, Jen Hoffman from Healthy Moving. So she meets people with this like mind-body connection work. And there's a lot of pain. Like someone might say, hey, my shoulder hurts. But she has such a wealth of knowledge that's like, I see that you said your shoulder hurts. Here's an exercise that I often recommend. However, you're not going to stick with this if you haven't done some of that underlying work. So let me bring you in to give you your next right step week by week. And she creates that path for folks that weaves mind and body. It's totally organic to what she does. And it's going gangbusters for her. It's not a hard sell. It's just like, let me support you. And so when it comes to keyword research, like, you can't manufacture empathy. AI is never going to be able to manufacture that, even in a million years, right? It's just not the way a human can. And so, yes, leverage your AI tools to help you save time. However, if it's just about churning out content, I have to say, like, why? I would rather write less and have it be better and have it be a clearer path for whoever ends up there. And so the thing I think that's really, really tough about SEO is you hear a lot of people saying, don't do it. And if you look at stats 6 months in, you'll be like, shoot, I invested all this time and it didn't go anywhere, because the best time to plant an SEO post was 12 to 18 months ago. And that's going to be true in 12 to 18 months. So you may as well get going now. And so understanding sort of the full view, understanding how to hold both what the bots require and what a human needs to come into your, what I call your ecosystem, right? They're out there in the ether. They're in the greater, you know, web sphere, right? The web ecosystem. How do they find you when you're not Tony Robbins, where they're typing it in, you know, however many thousands of times a month? How do they find what you offer? And the way they do it is by you answering the questions nobody in your space is. And I promise you, there are questions that nobody in your space is. As crazy as your crowded as your space is, I was able to have 16,000 new users for 2 years running, even after I stopped creating content on higher scores. 16,000 new users from Google per month coming through my door, 200,000 people a year coming in through these various resources I created. I hadn't figured out the conversion piece at that point, but I did figure out the traffic part. And that really is where you start. So I come back to, it comes down to good content wins, heart-centered content wins, but it has to be research-backed. I had a client just tell me, he always talks about recurring income, and they did a little query, he and his wife are a team, that recurring income, nobody's searching for that. Recurring revenue, they are. And so he's shifting his language just to meet the people out there. He's using a different word. That creates friction between him and the person who might land on his page. The more affinity he can build, the more they will know, like, and trust him. And so it's all related. It's all tied together. If you're going to be creating content anyway, you may as well research back it and do it in the way that Google might send somebody your way.
On that topic, which I love, what are some tips that you would give to somebody who's looking to get started in their SEO journey? And I'm also curious, you mentioned answering the question that nobody else is answering, and there are questions out there that nobody is answering. How do you find those? How do you start ranking for those? What does that journey look like?
The first step is to look at your website through a technical audit. You do need to audit your website, especially if you've never done it, you haven't done it recently, even if you just redid your website and you didn't do it through the lens of, gee, I hope this ranks in Google. Because I read a stat the other day. I think the report was a little bit older. It was like from 2022, maybe 2021. But basically they were like, by the way, 91.7% of websites don't rank in Google. Like, they're just not indexed. So if you're out there screaming, if you feel like you're screaming into a void, you probably are. And I always invoke the Pareto principle. 20% of the work can get you 80% of the way there. And as small practitioners, we are not, you know, we're not corporations. We don't need gobs and gobs of traffic. We need the right person at the right time who needs what we offer so we can help them. The whole thing. And for a lot of us, if we crunch the numbers and figure out how many units sold, you know, of whatever our prime offering is, whatever units sold we need to actually be profitable, you can actually calculate. This is something I teach in my course. You can calculate your ultimate goal in volume, and you can figure out what you need monthly to make your ideal income. So there's the mathy side of life. But my favorite way to start is by looking at the website structure, because Google would like you to be able to get to any page on your site within 3 clicks. And often we're putting in this huge, I can tell when somebody has done good SEO, because if you go to their website, if they don't rank first, if their first page is something deeper, than their homepage, their about page, or like a product page that they directly send somebody to, then you know that they've done the SEO. People are coming in through the roots, right? Because often we create our courses, or sorry, our websites going, here's my homepage, here's my products page, here's my about page, here's my contact page. Oh, and I have like podcasts and stuff down here, but that's all like down there. And we kind of like we lose steam by the time we get to the bottom. But really, if you're doing SEO right, people are coming up through those granular posts because, again, we're not Tony Robbins. They're not searching our name. They're finding us because they said, my shoulder hurts. And then they're like, oh, who's this person, Jen? Oh, she has this other stuff. I'm going to go over there and take a look at that. So really thinking about those bottom layer pages and making sure you're capturing emails there, making sure you create a pivot there. But because Google does want you to be able to get to with your site hierarchy, they call it a flat hierarchy, you want to kind of put your content in buckets. And there's ways to optimize your URLs. There's ways to do a lot of the technical stuff. Even something like naming your images appropriately can really go a long way to getting you into the search engine result pages. So looking through the technical audit, going through and going, okay, I see where I'm starting. Let me get my benchmarks. And I see where I'm starting. And now let me kind of take a look at what else is available here for me to optimize. And then you do your keyword research. Now, for keyword research, I love Ahrefs. So that's Ahrefs.com. There are other tools. SEMrush and Moz are sort of the equivalents. I just like the interface in Ahrefs. And it, to me, the granularity you get with the easier keywords is really powerful for Ahrefs, especially for folks who are not, again, going for those really competitive search terms. It seems like the opportunities pop a little more in Ahrefs. I don't know if it's something about how they calculate their use, how they digest the data. But what you want to do is stick with one, right, as the place where you get the data. So with keyword research, there are three things you need to be aware of. You need to know the keyword query, like what are people actually typing in. You need to understand that keyword difficulty is on a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being hard. If you're a brand new site, you want to scooch that towards the like under as low as possible, but also like under 25 is kind of the sweet spot. If we can get teens or single digits, that's awesome. And then monthly search volume. So they take an average of the monthly search for that particular query. So you can see how much is available. And so you need those three things. That's keyword research. That's a whole shoot and match. And there is, if you search Ahrefs free SEO tools, they have a keyword generator that if you type it in, you can really quickly get some ideas for what's out there. You can see how competitive or uncompetitive certain terms are. And so I use the paid version. It's all the same data and it's available to anybody through their free SEO tools. So I highly recommend that. And then once you understand what people are searching, you can start to write posts that meet that search intent and help those searchers who are having that problem create the first step of transformation, right? Sometimes the curse of knowledge, we like throw everything in the kitchen sink at people. What's just the first step? So if I were to do that here, you know, what is SEO? Okay, what do you need next? Your SEO audit. Okay, next you need to understand how to do keyword research. Right? Those would be three different posts. And I would be able to facilitate once people sign in, opt in through a nurture sequence, I keep sending them back to my website because Google's tracking behavior. They want to make sure that people who engage with you are then coming back to you. So if you can start to really kind of do that for yourself, facilitate that, not just going, Google, send me all the people and send them to me and like, that'll just be enough. You are the one who crafts the narrative for the person who has opted in for your email list. And so that's exactly what you do. And you just drop those little like next right steps. And sometimes I'll just put a little PS. By the way, this is all great. And these are free resources. If you want a more cohesive view, come check out my organic marketing course. And I'll guide you through the whole process in more in depth and support you every step of the way.
And your links are below as well if anyone's interested in checking that out. Thank you. I really appreciate the very, very well laid out plan of how to really get started. So you mentioned in a previous conversation that something about YouTube So I'm curious now, if you're looking to get started with keyword research and you want to show up on page one or two, or, you know, have some good ranking on Google, is blogging the best way to go about it? Is maybe YouTube videos, because Google does own that, the best way to go about it? It's interesting because I know for myself, when I'm doing a lot of searches these days, I either go to YouTube or ChatGPT. Or for me, where I now land, and I know a lot of people go to YouTube. So I'm curious what that looks like, or maybe optimizing your website and starting with blogging is the best.
The way I have started is by blogging, and everyone's like, is blogging dead? No, call it article writing. It doesn't matter. It's sharing information, right? So I will write a post and then I watch. And as I see things start to climb, then I leverage YouTube as a hosting site. I do not leverage YouTube as a YouTube channel. So if you go, should I build a YouTube channel? That's not the strategy I'm using. I'm using it like Vimeo, which means I am very sporadic. I am not going to be putting out a highly judged video every 3 seconds. Like, it's just not going to happen. I don't want to play algorithm games. I am done with algorithm games. I will post it when it's something I want to share, and I will optimize it with link backs to my website and embedded in that page as well, with zero calls to action to subscribe, like any of that. Because what I want ideally is for people to be coming to my website, not YouTube. I want Google to know, oh, these are interlinked. Also, in your YouTube channel, you can have link backs. So you can list multiple links to your website. Highly recommend doing that to your core pages. So I put my service offerings in there, obviously my homepage, but like my service offerings as well, because I want people to be able to get back to my website as easily as possible. And then Google has this other branch where they go, oh, that's what she's doing, right? And they funnel it in, that people can funnel in through YouTube. So like I said, I do not use YouTube in the correct YouTube-y channel kind of way, but I do optimize the heck out of it. So for example, so my site, my new site, I have only been building for about 9 months. And about 6 months ago, I wrote a post. I also have a course about naming your purpose, because that was something that was born out of Higher Scores. I was helping a lot of students kind of flip the script on being extrinsically versus intrinsically motivated. And I came up with this whole program around it. And that was the first thing that I started to build over at Lauren Gagioli. So Live with Purpose has been a vertical that I've been targeting. And one of the posts that I wrote, I think it was in like April or May, was about 9 books to help you name your purpose. And that post, I noticed, was starting to climb. Now, when I say it was starting to climb, I mean it's still on the third page of Google, which the best place to bury a dead body is the second page of Google. So it's not actually generating any traffic yet. But there's about an aggregate for all the keywords around of like a potential search volume of about 2,500. And so when I saw it on page 3, I was like, ooh. And I went and I made a video. And it's 20 minutes long, so definitely not going to like thrive in the YouTube sphere. But it's 20 minutes long because I walked through literally every book and talked about why I loved it. And then I embedded that. I have the TTL file, so if people want closed captioning, they can see it. There's a button below it that if people want to sign up for my 111 core values, I direct all the things I do in the post. I did in the video and then embedded it and had all those links in YouTube as well. And so these things are starting to bubble up, and it's only a matter of time before it flips, right? But that's that waiting place, I think, is where so many people bail. They're like, it's just not working, because they don't have the granularity of watching it climb unless they have the like massive SEO tool, which is like $100 a month, which I don't recommend getting if you're just a single practitioner. It's absolutely, and that's with me doing everything as right as I possibly can for being a solo operator, right? So, and, you know, prioritizing clients and all that. So I really love using YouTube. I highly recommend that if you're going to use it, you flip it. It's just a hosting service to keep your website running fast and lean. Do not use it as a I'm a YouTuber now, unless you want to be a YouTuber, in which case, Godspeed. But I'm not going to be the person to tell you how to do that.
I love diving into the technicalities of this. So you've mentioned a lot. Is there anything else that you feel it's important to mention when it comes to some of the topics that we've discussed, whether it be entrepreneurship, business, SEO, that we haven't touched on?
Honestly, I think it comes down to that purpose side of things. Getting really clear about who you are, having kind of a codified path for folks, understanding how people learn, how to help create transformation, but not overwhelm. Thinking about what's that next right step for this person in pain or in need of some sort, right? I've worked with Disney travel agents, and a lot of them are like Disney nerds, which is lovely. I am one myself. They have all these facts about Disney. However, the person who wants to buy from them or book through them, they need information about hotels. They need information about, you know, which park should I, like, how many days do I need? They want to talk about the Disney Cruise Line. How much does it cost? You know, what are the best itineraries? All these questions that come prior to a booking, as opposed to what restaurant to eat in the park, which is once they're in there and they're standing in the parks and Googling. So really thinking strategically about what serves the people you serve and how to catch them right before they need you. And a lot of that backs up and comes down to, what is your purpose? What is your calling? How do you help? And just continually doing the same thing over and over. And I think, too, a lot of times we want to say what we're not, right? We want to talk about all the things that we don't do, how we're different from other people. The reality is, if you want people to find you in Google, you have to start with how you're the same. And you have to trust that when somebody types in, you know, physical therapist in Seattle, like, that's where you start. Once people get to you, that's where you differentiate. But to get them through your door, to get them to your digital doorstep and to come on in, you have to start with how you're the same. And then being so firm in how you're different will naturally seep into how you teach and the progression that you provide for folks. And that's what will be that like magnetic attraction. So allow time for these journeys, all of them. SEO takes time. Make sure you have a plan. Start on a proper path. Make sure your website's shored up. So many people are running really, really janky websites. You have some technical work to do. There are also a lot of technical tools. If you're not yet in like Google Search Console, you need to get in there. It is not the same thing as Google Analytics. It's not the same thing as Google Ads. And some of this comes down to a lot of confusion in the way that Google has rolled out products. Really understanding the technical side, either figure it out so you can quarterback people that work for you, or do it yourself with a trusted advisor, or like, but you can't just bury your head in the sand. There's too many snake oil salesmen in this space. There's too many people who will promise you the moon. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So really make sure that you are working with people you trust. And also, it's not just about traffic. It's about conversion. So it's both of those things together. If you don't turn them into an email subscriber, a client, then who cares how much traffic you have? So keep your eye on the prize, help more people, and this is a really great way to do it.
And is there a specific platform that you would recommend for a website that you're building a blog on?
I love WordPress. You just have so much more control. So that speed issue. So if you go to, if you search Page Speed Insights, you can type your website in there and you can see how fast or perhaps slow your website is loading. If you are on Wix, if you are on Squarespace, the amount of control you have over improving your speed is pretty much nil. You can submit a support ticket, and I highly recommend being a squeaky wheel in that instance. Maybe they can do something for you, but these all-in-one solutions, they're all-in-one. They're doing everything. And to me, you're paying for it in some way. So if you are running a business, I highly recommend you get onto WordPress. If you have a hobby and you don't care so much, then fine. If it's just, you know, a little side thing and you only send people that, you know, who get you give them your URL, you don't care so much about being about ranking, then you can go ahead with those all-in-one solutions. But you won't be able to improve your image load times. It's not always the best code. there are some people who have managed, right? Their content is so good, or they've met a search intent that's so, there's just like a desert of information that Google will elevate them. I came across that the other day. There was a gal who's a PA and has this whole blog about PA and getting into PA school. And she's on Squarespace, and she's getting, I think it was something like 30,000 hits a month. So not nothing, but also, could she be getting more, right? Like, could we have a better path to profitability? Probably. So I like control. I even host all my own courses on my WordPress site. I love the all-in-one, like people continually coming back to my website. I want that all the time. So I don't use Kajabi. I don't use Teachable. None of the like third-party stuff. I want it all at laurengaggioli.com. I want it living there. I want to be in control, or be able to deputize somebody that I can have in control of it. It's powerful in this day and age to level up and say, I'm here to run a business, and I'm going to do it not just the easy way, but the right way. And that will stand out, because it's way too easy, I think, these days to just chuck up a website. And Google knows that. They know how easy it is. So when that barrier to entry is low, that's why it takes so long for your site to rank. You have to build authority, trust, and you have to show your expertise. And so that's literally an acronym they use: expertise, authority, and trust. So EAT. Actually, they added another E. I think experience is the other E. So you want to be demonstrating that at every turn. And I think leveling up and saying, I'm here to play on a bigger stage. One way you can do that is by having a really lovely, clean web experience in WordPress, I think, is the way to go.
I've never actually thought about hosting a course on your website, because anyone who logs in, that traffic is going back to your website. So that's clever.
Yes,
I've never thought of that.
This is also where, when you have people opt in to your email, have a thank you page, it keeps them on your site longer. It moves them to a second page. Also for tracking, you can see like, hey, this person went to a thank you page for a course that cost $350. You can go into your Google Analytics and you can actually have that tracking in there. If you figure out your conversion and figure out, oh, if they come in for an email, ultimately that will be worth X amount to me. You can start to put the valuation of your traffic in. And it's just a fun little game you can follow. So yeah, there's lots you can do. But think about that user experience. This is where I say all roads lead to your website. Whether you're on social, I know it's going to not get you in the rankings. Like maybe you do an occasional post where you're just like, this is me sharing this thing. But I love to do a video reel and then put it into stories. And then the next tile is with a link, a live link. It doesn't necessarily rank in the stories, but then when you go into my highlights and I have my organic marketing from the garden tips, you can see when I make a call to action, you can click through. So to me, it's about long tail effect, right? I'm not making a social post for that day. That's just not what I do. Right. Like if I'm going to spend the time doing it and feeding Zuckerberg's machine, like I need to get something out of it, even if it means it's less traffic for me ultimately.
Like, thank you for sharing all of that. It's a lot to think over. So yeah. Where can people find you online?
The easiest place to go is my name, which is not easy. So Lauren Gaggioli. It says LaurenGaggioli.com. But if you are curious about the organic marketing ecosystem, it's a 6-week course. I walk people through. I'm doing a live-led version starting mid-October. And then after that, it will be evergreen, but with opportunity to connect with me through my mastermind. So I have a drop-in mastermind. If people are like feeling stuck in their online business, you need ideas. I've done it all. I've created courses. I've got video. Like I've made curriculums from the ground up. I've done a wide array of things, and I love helping people find their next best win. And so if you're feeling stuck, you need ideas, or you need like someone to come in and kind of look at your overall strategy and help figure out like what can go, what should I keep, you know, all those things, the virtual mastermind is a really great place to get started. It's $25 for your first session. So I try to make it really easy, because I know we're all at a different stage in this journey. You can do the mastermind without doing the course, but if you do the course, you can also get additional support through the mastermind. So lots of different ways to partner and work. And I just love hearing from entrepreneurs.
You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.